Yesterday we studied text 4, which was quite important as far as concerns our application, right, of the philosophy, how to relate with the Vaishnavas. It was about satsang. How to actually have satsang, not just satsang is association, but sat, proper, productive, something enlightening, something which leads us to the sat. What is the sat? Krishna. Sat chit ananda. Sat means eternal. Such kind of association which builds our eternal life, that is called satsang. So how to have this satsang? Yesterday we were meditating on that. Any things you remember? Any things you learned for your personal advancement? Yes? Okay, so in order to advance in Krishna consciousness, we must reveal our mind. But in doing so, we have to choose the proper person. Otherwise, it can backfire. Mm-hmm. Yes? We must love the devotees. We must have these six exchanges amongst the devotees. They are necessary, Prabhupada says. And they fulfill the need of the human being for relationship. And they are necessary for our advancement. If we do not perform these activities with devotees, we'll perform them with others, and that will be the cause of our fall from bhakti or difficulties in bhakti. So these exchanges are necessary for our advancement. Yes? What else? Did you want to go?
Everything that we talked about in terms of giving should be done very consciously.
Yes.
Giving a gift, we should be very conscious about what the person actually used. If we reveal our mind, if we ask a question, it should be for the purpose of increasing Krishna consciousness. And if we give something for prasada, we should give it the way they want it. We should make sure they're ready to receive it as they want.
Yes. So, for us, sometimes Prabhupada said, first become conscious, and then Krishna conscious. Because we want to be Krishna conscious of the unseen, you know, conscious of the transcendental Lord. But first thing is to awake in this world and become aware of the presence of others and become aware of who they are. Perceive their needs, their qualities, their status. We have to learn that. Very much necessary also meant that because all the different living entities, they are part and parcel of the Lord. We can't love Him alone and not love His parts and parcels. It's never going to work. We have to love the completeness of the Absolute Truth. Yes, so be very conscious and always keep the purpose of this relationship, of this exchanging, whether it's giving or accepting, it is to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Yes? Very nice realization. Shubhankar was feeling grateful to Srila Prabhupada yesterday because many points are about how this International Society for Krishna Consciousness was created to actually allow us to progress in Krishna Consciousness. But there are rules to follow. And verse 4 was about some of these rules that we have to build positive relationships. This is also very good morning, Bhakta Pavan. This is also for us, as he said, how we should behave. Because we cannot just blame others that they are not doing it. First thing first is that we must try to do that. We must try to behave according to this. And then, you know, that will inspire others to also do like that. And if we become sometimes the leader of a family of Vaishnavas or the leader of the community of Vaishnavas, when we preach and we have people who are coming, we should know, what is the satsang for? Of course it's for cultivating Krishna consciousness, but how will it be cultivated? By having this kind of exchanges with the proper consciousness and being very personal with each and every person. Then there will be progress in Krishna consciousness. We will achieve the goal of having a community that actually takes everybody higher and higher in spiritual life. Yes, what else? Swami Panimani?
Before beginning any relationship with any devotee, you have to check that the right person.
Yes. The first thing in relationship is some knowledge has to be there. Knowledge, so we try to understand what kind of person this is. Not just haphazardly start relationships and go deeper and deeper in the relationship. So yes, we must observe and try, because we have to select very carefully.
You said that the most important thing is respect in the relationship. You don't have the respect factor, you're not going to work out.
Okay, the basis of the relationship is respect. We are going to hear this very precisely in the verse 5. The first thing you can give to anyone, besides water and a place to sit and food, what is the first thing we give to someone?
Respect.
Respect. If you don't give anything else, at least that much must be given. We give respect. Yes?
You must describe, but he said also you must respect the person with the Sajjan Kanishta, who think that we take drugs or think that.
This is in text 5, yes.
Respect them, this means that we will associate with them.
Yes. Okay, yes?
Whatever we eat, we should be very conscious about that. It should be only prasadam, especially when we go to the house programs.
Yes. Eat prasadam. Be careful. Yes.
Nothing means we don't give to help. We give to help others for their relation.
Okay. We give for the benefit of the others, not to get something back. Yes. What else? Yes. So, one of the things to learn is confidentiality. When someone reveals their heart to us, unless they mention that, please tell others, otherwise we should not. This is most important. This Guhyama Khyati Prichat is the most important point. The community of devotees cannot progress unless there is confidentiality. If there is no confidentiality, no one can reveal the heart. If no one reveals the heart, no one progresses. Everybody is holding on to their anarthas inside and smiling. Everybody thinks he is okay. They know I'm not okay, but to whom I should tell? So this is very, very important. So it's again, it's for us to learn. Prabhupada says we must rise in this verse 5. We must rise to the position of Madhyamadhikari. These are the one who has perfected these six exchanges is a Madhyamadhikari. We must rise to that position by practicing this. And confidentiality is most, most, most important. There is no progress unless we can have someone, at least one person, that we can tell something without fearing that they will repeat. So, maybe we are having a difficulty personally in finding such person. Okay, so this is a problem. But what is the beginning of the solution when we think of the welfare of everyone, including us, is we should become that kind of confidential person. We must become that kind of confidential person. At least create that kind of class in the society. And that way, at least some people will find a center. One question though, when should we not keep confidentiality? you heard some good qualities from her? Not really? Yes? Sometimes, yeah, but anything else about, what did you say? You said that sometimes we come to know about some devotee and all, and it is our duty to report to the spiritual master. Is that what you said? No.
Sometimes
what did you say?
Kindness of the master search that, and so we should have a council meeting in the Kaaba for the president and who wants the person to disclose that person.
Ah, sometimes you are forced to disclose by some higher authorities. Because sometimes these are actually discipline cases. In discipline cases, when you see that you're dealing with someone, suppose somebody comes to you and says, so tomorrow morning I'm going to kill my wife. I'm telling you this in confidentiality.
Sure.
So you try to counsel the person and change their mind and everything, but you're not sure whether they will change their mind. So sometimes, but when we are going to break the confidentiality, the best thing is usually to warn the person, to tell the person. And sometimes we can take their permission. Like if we see that, first thing is, if I can do something to help the person, I do. Sometimes I feel I really can't do anything about this case. So what to do? I feel I must... You know, either you tell the person, please go to someone else more advanced, I suggest such and such person. Or we say, listen, I suggest we both go to such and such person and we speak. Or we say, please, could you give me permission to take, advice from such and such person. Because we have to, this is an important thing, this is a major problem. We need more input here. So we can, you know, with the consent of the person, we can go somewhere else. Yes. Or if we see that it is a dangerous case, or somebody who says, probably, I have decided to end my life. It happens sometimes. I have decided to end my life. Now it is said in the official world of counseling that when a person talks of suicide, you should never, never take it lightly. Never think, oh, he was just talking. No. It is said, if someone talks of suicide, you should never take it lightly. So in such extreme cases, you may have to, you know, suppose you have a boy who comes and says, I think I will commit suicide. And he lives at home. You must tell the parents that your son is thinking about this. Or if it's a brahmachari in the temple, you better tell, you know, someone responsible there that you watch him. There's something funny with him, you watch him. So in some extreme cases, and always, what would be the purpose of breaking confidentiality? To help the person. Not just for gossiping. To help the person. And as I said, the first choice is to take the consent of the person. I think someone more than me should know about this. What about informing your father? What about informing this, informing that? So, this is the most difficult thing in Krishna consciousness. Dealing with the anarthas. Dealing with the anarthas, actually that's what it is mostly, dealing with the anarthas. But sometimes people tell things which are not anarthas. Like for example, somebody reveals, you know, I have chosen my spiritual master, I want to take initiation from such and such, but I don't want to reveal it now. It's not an anartha, he shared his heart. So sometimes people share things which are just, they just want the feedback, or they just want to speak. They want to reveal the heart. It is natural. We want to share. We want to share. So confidentiality is something very, very important, and it's also something very hard. How to handle it. Because sometimes you must not keep confidentiality. But these are extreme cases. Yes?
I have a question. Suppose one person is doing something illegal or against the laws of Islam, and I came to know. So if I'm disclosing that, is that a breach of confidentiality?
No, if you came to know, not from him, but from some source.
Suppose he's willing, and I witness that, but he's not willing, then I will witness that. But I came to know. Suppose, for example, someone is selling his own property without the proper permission from the people or the agency. So I came to know that. So this time what should I do? Should I tell that to the head office?
Yes, you can.
It's not a visa confidentiality.
No, I mean you came to know. It's not that the person came to you. Confidentiality means someone comes to you and wants to talk and say something. They want to open their heart. That is confidential. Opening one's heart to another. That's what he said here. That if you observe something and you come to know something for the benefit of the person, the benefit of his con sometimes, always you have to keep the balance between the two, which is not always easy, and you have to reveal. Yes, certainly. That's not confidentiality. Okay, so let us proceed in the next verse, text number 5, still about satsang. So what happens in text number 5? Now Rupa Goswami is going to tell us what will make this satsang very successful, very favorable. We know what to do. Dadati, pratignati, guhyamakyati, pricchati, bhunte, bhujayate, seva. We know what to do, but with whom to do that? So in general we heard with devotees, with those who are favorable to Krishna consciousness. You relate at different levels in different ways. But now he's going to give us another knowledge. What is the knowledge? That actually we should discriminate. We should discriminate amongst the devotees. Oh, isn't that bad? Not on the basis of the body or material education or who is his guru or something. No, but according to the spiritual status, spiritual advancement. Not everyone is equal and on the same platform. Oh, you know, it's the kind of things that in the secular society is always like very difficult to take. There are differences. Not everyone is equal. So spiritually it is also the case, not only in gunas, material gunas, not everyone is the same, but spiritually not everyone is the same. How many kinds of devotees are there?
Three.
These are three types of devotees, characterized or divided according to their advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we have to learn how to discriminate. Let us read the verse. Krishna yasya giritam manasa vieta diksha siche pranati vircha bhajanta isham shushushaya bhajana vikyamana nyamanya ninda nishunya vinavichita sangalabhya. Very beautiful composition. This is called Vasampati Laka. It is a type of a meter. Very beautiful. Srila Prabhupada translates the first line. One should mentally honor Manasa Adriyeta. Manasa Adriyeta. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. Krishnaeti yasya giritam. Giri means sound. When the sound that comes from his mouth is about Krishna, he's chanting the name of Krishna, 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 then that person should be mentally honored or respected. We have to respect that person and honor. Mm-hmm. Prana means you place him on a high platform. So this is the translation of the first line. Now on the second line, one should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. Dikshasti, chet, so if one has taken initiation, and bhajantam isha, is worshipping isha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what should be done? Pranativihi, that means we should same, honor him, not that you respect the Kanishta and then you only pay obeisances to the Madhyama. The respect continues, no? In all the three types. It starts with only respect, then there is respect and mental respect and physical. Also physically you show respect. So here it says one should offer humble obeisances. Pranam. To the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And now the last two lines. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So, bhajana vigyam means he is advanced in bhajana, in worship of the Lord, which means also in serving. He is advanced. He has some realizations. He is advanced in service. And then ananyam. Ananyam is the quality of his bhakti. It is undeviated. It's pure. He doesn't have any personal motives. And then the next thing is Anya Nindali Shunya Hridam. His heart is free from offense. He doesn't have an offensive mentality. The propensity to criticize others should not be there. So such person, his association is Ipsita. Sanglabhya. It's very much desirable when we find a person like this whose heart has been cleansed, who serves very purely, who is advanced in devotional service, then we should be eager to take the association of this person. And what is the way to associate with this person? It is called Shushrushaya, which means hear and serve. These two meanings are there in Shushrushaya. You should hear from the person and render menial service. Engage in some kind of service of that person. So here Rupa Goswami is describing three types of devotees and three types of behaviors with them. Three types of association, three ways to honor them, to respect them, to treat them. So this is very important for us. In the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in order to intelligently apply the sixfold loving reciprocation. So it is a continuation from the previous verse. We were told there are six ways to increase the love between the people. But this should be done intelligently. Not that you see some very, advanced person somehow, and then, he's trying to get his shoes at the shoe rack, and you push him a little bit and say, can you get my shoes? Can you get me my shoes? So we should be careful, we should know. Or we should be eager to serve and not be served by those who are more advanced unless they want to do so, like actively want to do so. So in order to intelligently apply the sixfold loving reciprocations mentioned in the previous verse, one must select proper persons with careful discrimination. So it's not enough that it's a devotee. We have to look further. So here Rupa Goswami is training us in spiritual vision, how to see the advancement in others. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore advises we should meet with the Vaishnavas in an appropriate way, according to their particular status. Status means which status? Spiritual status, not material status. We should see the spiritual status. Of course, in social dealings, there is also material status. Like if there is a very rich man, usually you have to show little respect. Why you show respect to a rich man? Oh, very good reason. He will probably give a donation. Bad boy. Krishna is in his heart, okay?
He has some respect in society.
Oh, he has some respect, so you should follow suit. Bad boy. Next. What else? Oh, he expects respect. Yeah, and if you don't give him, no donation. He expects respect. Okay, next. Yes, something else? Right. This is the main reason why you should respect him. He has some very pious credit. He's not just anybody. He has some pious credit. Of course, sometimes some rascal demons are also rich. But the fact that he has money has come through piety. It comes through piety. Even in this lifetime, he has stolen the money, but he must have had some piety in the past so that the money came to him. Otherwise, it would not have come. So we respect the piety. When we see someone, I remember one time, long, long time ago, they were building the MVT. You know the MVT? That beautiful complex next to ISKCON, the residential complex. So they were building it. There was nothing at that time around there. It was just fields. And they were building the MVT. And I must say, it was not good from my part, but because I was looking, and for whom they are building these palatial buildings, you know? I was wondering, for whom they are building this, you know? And then we came to know it will cost this much, each apartment will cost this much, all that. So one time I was telling one devotee who was visiting, what is this there? And I told him that, they are building this thing, but it will be only for the rich devotees, you know. Nobody can afford this who lives here. It will be for those who have money. And the devotee somehow, because there must have been a little envy in my heart or something, you know, to say this. It will be for the rich devotees, feeling that it will not be for me. So, and then he said, he spoke in Hindi, he said, "Oh, Krishna ne diya unko." Means Krishna has given him the money. Those who are rich, who gave them the money? Krishna, because it's Lakshmi. He said, Krishna gave them the money. Oh, that pacified my heart so much. Oh yes, this is how to see a rich person. Krishna has given him. You must respect. And who else do we respect also? Besides the rich man?
Sadhus.
Sadhus, of course, spiritualists, sadhus. Yes. People who are religious in other religions, yes. And? On the material platform? Oh, you respect the politicians. Good you. Yeah, in some ways, sometimes you have to. Because again, who put him in post?
Krishna.
Somewhere, Krishna is involved. You know, nothing happens without him. So somehow he has let it happen. Maybe for his downfall, but for the moment, you must respect the post. Yes. Who else do we respect?
Parents.
Sorry?
Parents.
The parents, yes. The children must be taught to respect the parents, and we must respect our parents. Yes, we must respect. They give us this body, which is so valuable. So they gave us this body and they served us so much. You know, when we were small, pooing on the mother's lap. Who did not do it? Everyone did it, you know. And did she got upset? No, she was not upset. She was cleaning the stool for several years. She was doing so many things. The father gave the discipline, gave the funds to educate us. And then when we become big, we say, ciao, ciao. They say in Italy, I'm going. Bye. Why are you going? Nothing, nothing next to be, nothing more to be taken from you. Going for my life. So we should respect the parents. Again, learn how to deal with them, but respect should never go. We have to respect the parents. And the elderly, those who are elderly, we must respect them. Why should we respect them?
They are equal to our father and mother.
They are equal to our father and mother, yes. And in general, of course, this works in the good society. They're supposed to be wise. It's not always the case nowadays. But at least you respect them for their old age. They've been here a long time. They have some experience. And they need help. Those who are elderly, they should be respected because they fall into a category that Krishna says you must respect and protect. So we should respect. Who else should be respected?
Teachers.
We are all students, so we should all respect the teacher. Yes, very much. We respect the teacher. So in that way, there are many reasons why we respect people. But here we are talking of respecting the devotees. And the devotee can be young, he can be old. Prahlad Maharaj was how old? 5 years old. We have to respect, we pray to him, we bow down to him in that form when he was 5 years old. So the devotee can be young, he can be old, he can be educated, he can be uneducated, he can be from America, he can be from Bangladesh, he can be from any place. So what we have to look is, we have to learn how to see what kind of life is going on with him. So, in the purport, who has read the purport? Okay, very good. In the purport, we saw that what is Prabhupada saying in the purport? He's talking about these three categories of people and he's giving symptoms. Symptoms, so that we know who is who. The lower level of advancement one is in is called Kanishta. One is a Kanishta Vaishnava. And what is another word for it that Prabhupada gives in Sanskrit? Prakrita, not Sahaja, Prakrita Bhakta. Prakrita Bhakta. What means Prakrita? It means material, materialistic, a materialistic devotee, you know? They come to Krishna because they want money, because they are in trouble, like that. So this is Prakrita Bhakta. Not very advanced. Still full of material condition. And then there is the Madhyama, and then there is the Uttama. So today I would like you to do the homework here because so many things are in this report. We will divide you into 4 groups. Can we do that? Yes, something like this. I haven't thought it out very well, but how is it? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. Or then we can do two of men and 2 of ladies. I think it is it. Maybe okay. So first, second, third row. This is one group. Or maybe some, depending, you can go to the back there because there are less people. And that one will be one group. And last two rows is one group. First two rows is another group. Okay? Now, first group will understand what? The Kanishtha. So we'll take it here. This is the Kanishtha Adhikari here. I didn't say they are Kanishtha Adhikari. I said they will study that subject. So all of you here, you study the Kanishtha Adhikari. Throughout the purport, it's coming again and again and again, including the verse. What does the verse say? What does the purport say? What is a Kanishtha Adhikari? Next group will do the Madhyama. Okay? Then the big group at the back there, including Sandipani Muni, you will do the Uttama. I didn't say you are Uttama. I said you will study that. And then in the front here, starting from Deepen, you are going to study how to advance from the status of a guest to Uttama. Okay? Four different topics. Prabhupada covers all this in the purport. Alright? So please turn around, make a group quickly, and you decide how to work. Just go through the thing and make notes of what you discover. Kanishtha, Madhyama, Uttama symptoms, and how to progress from the status of a guest to the status of Uttama. Thank you very much. And you have 15 minutes. Did you get it, Tirumala? Group number one. What are we supposed to do with this?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Please come up front and present. We are discussing here the Kanishtha Adhikari. Everyone can give their input ultimately, so please go ahead. There's a microphone down there. Okay.
The definition of Kanishtha Adhikari.
Please. Hello.
Definition of Kanishtha Adhikari is they are neophyte devotees who have taken Harinam initiation and they are trying to chant. And they are also known as Prakrita Bhakta, means materialistic bhaktas. And the main symptoms of Kanishtha Adhikari are that he is on the lowest platform. He is very faithful. Faithfully he worships the deity in the temple. And only in the temple he considers that the God is there, not outside the temple. Third is, he does not know how to behave towards the devotees or people in general. He may not respect devotees like a Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari does. And the very main symptom of this Kanishtha Adhikari is, he has faith, he chants, but his faith is very soft. He can easily come under influence of other people who are not devotees.
presentation?
Oh, I heard you.
So the Kanisha Adhikari we heard, he chants the holy name. And Prabhupada also said he may have taken Harinam initiation. But it's not just those who have taken Harinam initiation, it's those who chant the holy name. But they may not be regular in the chanting. And those who have taken first initiation, Harinam initiation, so they are new devotees. So in general, we would consider them Kanishta. Is a new devotee who just took Harinam initiation always a Kanishta?
No.
There are exceptions. But in general, someone who just came to Krishna consciousness is a Kanishta. He's not yet purified. He has to advance further. And he's at that level. Thank you. But there are exceptions of extraordinary people who carry all their baggage from the previous life and who are advanced from day one. Okay. Another example of a Kanishta that was in the purport that should be respected. Another, she gave an example. For example, there is the Prakrita Sahajas. This is actually a category, it's actually a sort of a sect, we say, or a line of people in Bengal, Prakrita Sahajas. And it also means they take everything very cheaply. They manifest external symptoms of being a devotee, but internally they are not purified. And the proof is they are not detached. So, but still we should respect that person because they are chanting. Someone else the Prabhupada mentions in the purport? George Harrison, yes, his name is not mentioned, but Prabhupada talks of George Harrison, one of our members, one of our devotees. He is chanting Hare Krishna. George Harrison was one of the Beatles, a musical group at the time in the 70s, very, very famous. And he did a lot for the Hare Krishna movement. In fact, the fame of Hare Krishna, the words Hare Krishna, spread everywhere very fast because of the Beatles, because they recorded songs related to Hare Krishna, and they chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and they had millions of followers at the time. They got everywhere on the radio, on the television. So, in fact, we have heard that Prabhupada told George Harrison to actually remain as he is, because he told him that you will have more impact in that way. So in general, anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna, even there is a quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, how many times you must have had chanted Hare Krishna to get respect?
Just one time.
When you have chanted one time, you have to respect that person. It means he is not a demon, first of all, because demons don't chant. They don't take the holy name in general. Okay? Alright, should we go to the next group? So such persons, we must honor them. Those who are new in Krishna consciousness, we must honor them mentally. Yes?
Generally, Harinam Diksha is given after 1 year of association with people. So how he can be called a fresh entity? He's a neophyte. He cannot be a neophyte.
He cannot be a neophyte.
Because he has already associated with one year. He was doing chanting, he was serving.
What about the one who has been here for 50 years?
Still not chanting.
I don't mean that one. The one. It does happen. Has been here for 50 years. There is a story of someone in America. Came to the Sunday feast for 15 years in a row. Then finally, after 15 years, ask a question. What is this chanting? It took 15 years to purify. So this, you see, what we are studying today should change our outlook on the devotees. That's to change our outlook on the devotees. Now that ISKCON is spreading very widely and very fast, a senior devotee is somebody who has been like 5 years in the movement, you consider very senior. But this is not the case. A very senior devotee takes many, 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 many years. Many years to grow as a senior devotee. So someone who has been practicing for 1 year, according to this, he's a new one. He's a very new person. And this is one of the problems in our congregation, that as soon as they have been here for 2 years, I am senior. No. We will see the qualities of the Madhyamadikari, then you understand. So the neophyte usually is someone who is, as we said, his faith is very soft. The faith is soft. Even after being first initiated and all, he can be defeated. Why? Because the faith is soft, and secondly, how much knowledge did you acquire in 1 year? Faith and knowledge are two things which characterize a person. And after 1 year, how much knowledge? Okay, he read the Bhagavad Gita. But there is another one who read it 10 times. There's another one who practiced it for 25 years. So what is this 1 year in the movement? It is nothing. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, it is nothing. It is the very beginning of Krishna consciousness. Yes?
And I have one doubt about
it. Yes, sure.
He's very faithfully engaged in the worship of deities in the temple. I don't know, it seems culturally, in a place like America, it takes a lot of practice of Krishna consciousness to come to the point of being faithfully engaged in worship of deities. Usually beginners are engaged in what we call preaching, or distribution, going out. And if they develop enough faith, then they can come to appreciate the deity.
Okay. An answer to that is, I had explained to someone, at least it was in the other group, that when Prabhupada says faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity, it doesn't mean that he's on the altar. It means he's faithfully following the temple programs. It is a form of worship. He goes to the temple, attends the aartis, bows down, follows the program. This is the worship of the deity. And this is what Prabhupada means. The neophytes, they are very, actually, usually, if they are good ones, they are very attached to, they become, and they must, we must become attached to the rituals. So very faithfully and very regularly, the neophyte goes to the temple and he follows all the programs. So in that sense, he is engaged in the worship of the deity. Prabhupada says, the puja, the one who does the arti, he's not doing just for himself. It's not the way. He's doing on behalf of all the ones who are attending. That is the mood of the pujari. The pujari is offering arti on behalf of all those who are present. Actually, all those who are present are worshipping the deity. And one person on their behalf is offering arti. So in that sense. Okay, let's go to the next group.
Percent is
so she's expressing something that sometimes in the temple, actually what you are expressing is that relationships are difficult to build with the devotees. Very difficult to build. Some people ignore you, right? They don't reciprocate, they ignore you. As they say, they are very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity while stepping on the toes of the person next to them. This is typical Kanishtha. They are doing their service very, very seriously, but no one else should come around. Right? So who are they?
Kanishtha.
This is the Kanishtha. This is what they are. And that's why, you know, the relationships are not proper. Because they are self-centered, and they don't have much realization, they don't have much knowledge. What is the only thing they know? Krishna is God. And then they engage in the sadhana, they engage in the service, but they are not seeing who is around, and they do not know how to interact. So we should note that, because it's for us not to be. Prabhupada said in this verse, you must not remain, one should not remain on the Kanishtha platform. It is our duty to rise. Because if we don't rise, the society cannot stand. Because one of the meanings of neophyte, if you cut it into two, in a joking way, neo means new, and fight means fight. Neophyte means a new fight every day. This is what it means. Neophytes are quarrelsome. They are not tolerant, and so on. Yes.
And we have the duty to enlighten children more than to put in the darkness.
Yes, it is our duty. But as I said, you know, start at home, enlighten others, acquire knowledge. Don't expect. You know, that's also sometimes we get hurt. Why we get hurt? Because we think we deserve what?
Respect.
We deserve attention. We deserve respect. I remember the first time I had a neophyte in my ashram. You know, there was some many things. There was a new devotee. And something happened in the ashram, you know, so many people staying there. And they used to stick the plates of prasadam under the cupboard. You know, when they couldn't finish, like we said, you should finish your what's on your plate. So some of the people, maybe one in the ashram, had this habit of not finishing and then sticking the plate under the cupboard until we are reminded of it. You know? So one day I just exploded and I just like threw the cupboard out and did all kinds of things. And I was called on the top, fourth floor, temple president's office. Okay. So I went to the temple president's office and I was like, I said, you know, I came here for good association. And what is this association? You know, I read in the book, you know, you're supposed to honor prasadam, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. I gave him the whole list of the symptoms of a devotee. Devotee is supposed to be like this, like this, like this, like that. They're not like that in the ashram. You know, they do this, they do that. I had a whole list of complaints. I said, they are not good association. So the temple president looked at me and he said, who do you think you are to deserve good association? You know, so heavy. You know, I mean, who do you think you are to deserve good association? First, deserve. And then, association will come. So who do you think you are? Because when you criticize others and don't find them okay, it means I'm better. There is this lack of humility, little pride. I don't deny that there are problems, because everybody's a Kanishtha, so there are many problems. But one of the points is this, he really cut me like to the root. Who do you think you are to deserve good association? The next thing he said, if you want them to behave properly, teach them. This is first you do it, and then you can tell them. So it was very a heavy lesson for me that day, you know. But I always remember that when I don't find something okay, I remember, do I deserve something better? No. I get what I deserve. So, in that way, we have to remain always humble. Let us go for the next group there quickly, here. Here. So this is the Madhyam Adhikari here. Second initiation here, yeah, Diksha. Because next, what are they doing?
For them, worship of Krishna is the highest object of love. They make friends with the devotees and merciful to ignorant, avoids the envious one. It is in Bhagavad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, 2nd chapter, verse number 46. And they have conclusion knowledge of the Shastras is not very strong. But they have firm faith in chanting the Mahamantra. They practice austerity, celibacy, control of mind and body. They become gradually disinterested in material enjoyment and gradually interested in spiritual life. It is in Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. And Shraddhavan is Shramshi, faithful person. They are Shraddhavan, Shramshi, faithful person.
Okay. Any comments on this? Yes?
How do you raise yourself to become a Madhyamadhikari?
How do you do that? Well, you rise, that's
no,
what
I
you
know
mean.
How to do it, I'm asking a question.
Oh, okay. So, he's asking you a question. You're on the spot. How do you rise from Kanishtha to Madhyam? This is actually the topic of Group 4, how to advance. But he's advancing. You can understand some points here. For example, he has conclusive knowledge. How did he get it?
He has capacity to initiate. That shows also that he has still secured the movement.
Okay, he stayed. That's how to progress. Just stay. He has studied. He has heard. This is one of the ways to progress. He has studied, he has heard, and his knowledge has become solid. He has a very solid knowledge of Madhyam Adhikari. But he can still be defeated. However, he has very solid knowledge. His knowledge is quite solid, and he has a strong faith. So the advancement, we know it happens, we will hear in Group 4. But what about these symptoms here? So the main thing is that he can discriminate. That's the main aspect. He has grown into discrimination. How? By purifying the consciousness, by studying, by hearing, by chanting. And she said, what is he doing? He's practicing austerity, celibacy, control of mind, body. It's someone who has very seriously taken up the process. And by very seriously practicing for a number of years, then gradually one obtains that discrimination. One can discriminate between the Lord and his devotees and the non-devotees. Those who are devotees, those who are innocent, those who are atheists. And obviously when this is someone who preaches, the Madhyamadikari usually is engaged in preaching. Otherwise, what is the use of this discrimination? So he knows how to preach. What more?
Becomes very
Becomes what?
Gradually gets interested in
Madhyamadikari. Yes. Anything more about the Madhyamadikari? He follows the regulative principles how? Very strictly. Yes. That's the difference between the Madhyama and the Kanishtha. The Kanishtha he follows, but, you know, there might be accidents. There are accidents because he's not yet fully strong. So the neophyte devotee makes some mistakes here and there, both in the regulation in the chanting and in the four regulative principles. But the Madhyama doesn't do that. Madhyamadikari is fixed, steady in chanting, and he is strong in following the principles. Yes? Going back now? Yeah, of course. If he commits offense, by committing offenses, by entering into some bad association, he said, you know, that's why we are hearing association very important. Because by bad association, even an uttama can fall. Like we had this, this Janvara, the king, he associated with a deer. It's a kind of bad association. He associated with an animal. So he fell from the stage where he was. He lost his fixedness in the consciousness, became distracted. So yes, we can regress also. Any other question? Yes? Yes, it happens. It happens. It depends. There can be many things behind that. One thing can be they have elevated themselves to a certain point, but if there is no Guru Nishtha, it is a little useless. If there is no Guru Nishtha. Guru Nishtha should be there, that you follow a certain path. But sometimes some people also like find another, like for example in the Pushkimar, for example, in the Vallabh Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, they are very much into Vatsalya Bhava. So sometimes it happens that somebody is in another Sampradaya and somehow they get so much attracted by this Vatsalya Bhava that they decide to jump into another Sampradaya. So this is like something which, okay, but normally what they should do, the proper way to do it is with the permission of the Diksha Guru, one takes Shiksha. But today, Diksha again, usually is not considered proper. Diksha is taken once in a Vaishnava Sampradaya. Like we have many people coming from the Ramanuja Sampradaya to ISKCON. So if they have been already initiated in proper order, then usually, many times, it depends on the spiritual master, but usually they don't need to take initiation again. They just take Shiksha. Or if they have taken, you know, sometimes they initiate, sometimes they got initiated when they were children, they didn't choose, they didn't know, it was a ritual, so then they take initiation again, like that. So sometimes people change Sampradaya, but in general, it is not the thing to do. We stick to our own Sampradaya. Yes, Subha?
Yeah.
No, no, no. We said the Kanishtha Adhikari worshipping the deity means he goes to the temple and he attends the program. So that's why I was questioning which initiation is this. Usually a Madhyamadhikari, he has spent quite some years in ISKCON and he got second initiation. So the second initiation, we cannot take initiation in one sense is external. It is in part of the internal process, but in one sense is external. There are people who are second initiated, but they behave like Kanishthas. So are they Madhyamas just because it is said here? No. In the verse it says, one who he is, when he says Diksha in the verse, he means Brahminical Diksha. One who has undergone spiritual initiation and is engaged in worshipping the deity. But actually in the verse it says, Diksha Sichet Parantipesa Bhajantam Isham. And Bhajantam means he serves. And the idea is that one must follow, and very seriously. So one who has second initiation and who follows very strictly, very seriously, gradually he will elevate himself to the platform of Madhyamadhikari. You cannot really judge by initiation. It's not exactly like that. But a guideline is given. And also, we should respect people. So if you are a new devotee and somebody is initiated, you have to respect. Otherwise the whole society goes, upside down. Unless you know that, he's a fallen soul and he's doing this and that, sinful activities, that is a different thing. But in general we have to respect someone who has a higher initiation than us. Somebody who has taken initiation even one day. Sometimes you hear Prabhupada's disciple, she's my senior god sister. She took initiation just one day before me. So, like that. So we respect those who have taken initiation before, those who have taken second initiation when we don't have second initiation, and so on. But for somebody to be a Madhyama, Kanishtha, Uttama, it doesn't ultimately depend just on the initiation, although initiation, we will hear from the fourth group, is very much part of the process of advancement. Without Diksha, there is no progress. We must take initiation, connect ourselves with the spiritual master. We have to do that. It's part of the process. But just because you got your Brahmin thread yesterday doesn't mean suddenly you're a Madhyama. Now you have to engage seriously in the worship of the deity and in the study and then in the service and so on. You have to apply all the principles of the nature instruction and then gradually one rises to the platform of Madhyama. Madhyama is actually quite elevated. Mostly people are Kanishthas. The mass of devotees are Kanishtha. In the ladder of the progress of Krishna consciousness from Shraddha to Prema, if you want to see Shraddha from Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti, this is the Kanishtha. From Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti, not just somehow you engage in chanting last 2-3 years and now you are a Madhyama. No, it's not like this. You have to see the internal progress. When most of the anarthas has been destroyed and one is situated in goodness, then only becomes a Madhyama. Madhyama means Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti. These three levels are very elevated levels. This is the level of the Madhyama. Nishtha, Madhyama means he's steady. As long as you chant your rounds one day nicely, next day not nicely, you're not a Madhyama. We are not Madhyama. As long as you fight or you fall prey to, this, that, all the Vegas, you're not a Madhyama. You may have been here for 10 years, but you're not a Madhyama. A Madhyama has Nishtha. Every day is able to chant, every day is worshipping, every day, the consciousness remains steady. That is Nishtha. And then he gets taste. That is Ruchi. And then attraction. That is Asakti. This is Madhyama. And someone who is on the stage of Asakti, it's almost self-realized. So this is very advanced. And the Uttama, Prabhupada said, something has to be revealed. Something transcendental. When something transcendental is revealed, and the spiritual potency of the Lord opens the internal eyes, then one is Uttama. Not just that he is just a very staunch preacher, because this is also said in the purport. He preaches very intensely, he is an Uttama. But the Madhyamas also preach very intensely. Even the Kanishthas sometimes they preach very intensely and make a nice mess. But Kanishthas preach, Madhyamas preach, Uttamas preach. What is the difference between their preaching?
How many devotees they make?
It is a fact. It is, I mean, in one sense, but also you have to see the quality of the devotees that they make. Not just a whole bunch of meh, meh, meh sheep, you know, all fighting with each other to become the leader of the next group. That is not very good. So, the more the leader is advanced, the more there is impact on the people. Of course, the number comes, but also the quality. He is able to convince them, the Uttama Adhikari, and an advanced Madhyama also. So, very quickly, you must all read a book which is called Madhurya Kadambini. To evaluate oneself, we very quickly think, I mean, hardly anybody thinks I am an Uttama. That's what I thought when I joined. There was a description of Shraddha to Prema. And I was thinking, which level am I on? Just joined. And my conclusion at the end of the description is either Bhava or Prema. This is the conclusion of a neophyte. That the more you spend years in Krishna consciousness, the more Krishna reveals all the anarthas and the more you know, oh my God, what am I actually? I am a Kanishtha. I am a Kanishtha. So, this is we usually overestimate ourselves. We think we have come to the Madhyam platform. Krishna pulls the carpet a little bit and bam! Accident. So, it is not so easy to be a Madhyam Adhikari. It's very fixed up. Very, very fixed up. So, time is passing. It's actually time for the end of the class. So, we have a little mismanagement here. What to do? Should we hear one more group? Yes. Oh, that was very good. Your own Madhyamas. Gur Panga 3, please. This is the Uttama Adhikari or Uttama Vaishnava. Govinda Vasya is presenting. Very good. Very popular figure.
Govinda Vasya, not the king.
Yeah, always chanting. There is more here.
Okay, so we're doing this Uttama Adhikari, and
Sanapana Muni gave me a very nice note. It says, first we have to define what is a Uttama Adhikari.
The vision of Uttama Adhikari is that he is above the material world, and he has knowledge which is above the material world. And a devotee said the best example of Uttama Adhikari is Srila Prabhupada. He's a very good example of the Uttama Adhikari.
And second thing here it says, characteristic of Uttama Adhikari is that he doesn't criticize anybody. He's always trying to preach to everybody. That's the most important thing, is that we're trying to, how do we are expanding the Krishna consciousness movement. There's a realization I'd like to tell you is today I was doing Parikrama and I was thinking, why am I doing Bhakti Shastri? I'm doing Bhakti Shastri
So I can read Prabhupada, understand Prabhupada's books, so I can give Prabhupada's books to everybody. So it's very, very important to go out and preach Krishna consciousness to everybody. Not just to, eventually, hopefully, I can go out of Vrindavan and give Vrindavan to everybody. So that was my realization today during Vrindavan. I am able to give Krishna to whoever I can.
Another thing is, he has attained the highest realized state of unalloyed Krishna consciousness as a perfect Vaishnava. He walks the walk and he talks the talk. He teaches by example. He doesn't have any flaws or any faults, and he is perfect in his character.
Another thing is, he has unflinching faith in Guru and Krishna. He realizes,
one important thing that Sanapanamuni told me, that actually Prabhupada says in 57, is that he realizes his own sarup.
He has realized his own spiritual identity.
And only Uttam Adhikaris can know we can, at least I say to myself, I am not on that platform, so I know I'm definitely not Uttam Adhikari.
That they know exactly where they are in the spiritual world and how they can give this to others.
It's very nicely explained. And it says, always thinking of Krishna and devising means and ways to spread the holy name of Krishna. They understand that his only business is spreading the Krishna consciousness all over the world. Such a person is recognized as a Uttam Adhikari, and his association should be immediately accepted. And it also says that indeed the advanced Uttam Adhikari Vaishnava should be accepted as a spiritual master.
Another thing it says, he teaches by examples. I said that ourselves. Rupa Maigamana Prabhu said that in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, 647, it says, Yoga Maha Visarvasam. And also, Rupa Maigamana says that Uttam Madhavakari sees Krishna in everybody. You know the picture? They see that this one sannyasi, he has his bead bag and his danda, and he sees the cow and the dog eater. That is also Uttam Madhavakari, that he sees God in everybody's heart, that he realizes it doesn't matter who you are, that's a nice picture. And also, another interesting thing that Prabhupada said in this is that if one properly finishes chanting a certain number of rounds, he's elevated step by step to the Uttama Adhikari. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said that there is no reason why my disciples cannot go back to the spiritual world, go back to the Godhead. So we're all able to attain the Uttama Adhikari platform if we're able to listen to the devotees, cooperate with devotees, do what's right, favorable for devotion. We can all attain the Uttama Adhikari platform, but we should not be, speaking for myself, I should not be puffed up. We should always, be meek and humble and think we're the lowest of the low and serve the devotees.
I think that should be it. That's about it. I know you guys want to take prasadam.
Before prasadam. Any comments on this, the Uttama Adhikari?
Yeah.
Yes?
I want to speak to spiritual identity. Prabhupada never discloses spiritual identity. We get this mood of the Buddha and the universe. So, as a follower of the Prabhupada, we don't follow this.
No, it says it in the nectar of instruction. I'll find it for you.
It is there. Yes. His spiritual identity is revealed to him. He knows his spiritual identity. This means Uttama. Uttama, thank you. Uttama means transcendental person. You cannot just, sometimes you joke, he's an Uttama, But it's not a joke. To be an Uttama means self-realized. Like the six Goswamis, they are Uttama Adhikaris. Srila Prabhupada is Uttama Adhikari. That kind of caliber of persons who have actually seen, they understood what is their relationship with Krishna. How did they get it? It was revealed. Now, it doesn't mean that they have to propagate it, that they have to say it. Like you say, Srila Prabhupada was very discreet about his spiritual identity. Very discreet. Why? Actually, we should understand that the internal development of a very advanced devotee, someone who actually comes in touch with the transcendental form of Krishna. You can read Madhurya Kadambini again. One who actually starts seeing the Lord within himself and starts understanding the flavor of his relationship, whether it is friendship or it is madhurya, what is it? One who actually discovers this, the fact is that he's not going to go on the roof and tell everybody. Why? You must understand. It's sometimes explained, it's like a relationship between a husband and wife. Husband and wife, they have a very close relationship. Very, very close relationship. On different level, on different platforms. When they meet and they exchange something very, very personal, the next morning, does the husband go to the neighbor and explain everything what the wife felt and said and this and that? No. It is called private. And it is the characteristic of the relationship. What is an intimate relationship? It is a private relationship. So the most intimate relationship we can ever have is with God. It is the most intimate. It is the most precious. If you want to break a relationship with your wife, first thing you do is just go and talk about private matters. With a friend, it's the same. You have a friend, again, this confidentiality or this thing. You have a friend, you know so many things about your friend because you have friends. You have opened your heart to each other. The first thing you can do to break the relationship is start sharing their things with others. So, when one actually discovers the reality of the Lord, one thing is you don't want to lose it. You never want to lose that. It is unimaginable. The value of contacting the object of our worship since time immemorial, we have been separated from Him. So the value of that relationship is so high that it is kept within oneself like one would keep a jewel. It is a jewel. It is not meant for distribution. It's not meant for giving out. It is meant to be kept and protected and valued. So this is why the very advanced devotees, they don't reveal everything well. They may reveal to someone else who has the same experience. Sometimes it is said, who can recognize an Uttamadhikari? Another one. There's something that between them that they connect. They know, they can sense, they can feel. And by associating, they understand a little bit, little bit, little bit. So they may reveal their heart to someone on the same level as them, but they will not broadcast what their relationship is about. For the reasons I have just said, it is very private. It's the most private thing you can ever find. And who will understand anyway? Why they should say? What they will gain from it? Just cheap following? Or lots of following? If it comes known that such and such has realized his swarup, how many disciples you will have? Everyone will flock to that person. But the philosophy of a Uttamadhikari is na nanam na janam na sundarim kalitamba jagadishika me. He doesn't want any followers. Although we have heard that the Uttamadhikari preaches madly, actually there are two kinds of Uttamadhikari that we hear about. And qualify the dog. When he gets the order, then Prabhupada explains he comes down on the level of Madhyama and he starts preaching. Otherwise, Govinda Vasya said, he sees everyone as spirit. He sees the Lord in everyone's heart and he sees everyone as a spirit soul. Therefore, he does not discriminate. He sees that everyone is serving Krishna in their own ways, directly, indirectly, and he doesn't think really that he can do anything about it. He doesn't want to interfere. So, but when he receives the order, then he preaches very, very, very intensely. And so, it is one of the ways to know that this person is very advanced because he's so much fixed on the preaching. It reflects some internal connection somewhere. So, that's why we cannot expect that people are going to explain that yesterday morning I met Krishna and he told me I am Gopi Dutt, you know. Okay, we should stop here because there is no more time. Can we hear you in the next session? Yes?
Yes?
Yes. Okay. So the beginning of the next session, we will hear how to progress, that was Govinda Vasya's question, from the status of just being, you know, somebody coming or maybe meeting the devotees to being an Uttama Adhikari. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.